Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Pleasure to be with you today. And on today's format with John Adago and Lisa LaRose, Janet Carafa, we're going to explore this big idea, this big awareness that timelessness, this sense of timelessness, going beyond time, and also allowing. Now, right before I came on the air today, I had a meeting with Michael Etson, who's writing a new book on the brain and eyesight. And one of these we really got into, and I think you're going to appreciate this, is that when we go into timelessness and when we allow, the brain changes physically based on our interpretation. So if you feel there's a deadline or something you have to do, your brain is under strain. So we're going to explore today how taking mini retreats during the day, and we're going to talk about an upcoming wondrous retreat with John Adago and John Carafa in Kauai. But I want to talk about this idea, explore this idea of timelessness. So timelessness and allowing ties in to the new medicine out of Germany. The new medicine out of Germany is helping people not just transform their brains, but change their whole rate of healing based on timelessness and allowing. And as I open up the conversation today, I want to give you a quick example how the new medicine just came into being about 10 years ago. This medical doctor's son was shot. He had this injury. And this is right around the same time I was very close with Dr. Valerie Hunt, who I consider one of the greatest pioneers in the field of energy medicine, scientist at UCLA. And Valerie told me about this work. So the new medicine basically has you slow down. So for instance, if you burn yourself, usually we shake our hand, we want to get away from something. We want to rush and hurry our way through things. But there's another way. And that way is to rhythmically respond. So in the new medicine, when you burn your hand on the stove, you turn the stove down. So if it's on at 9 or at 10, you turn the stove down and you put your hand over the stove again, but it's much lower in temperature, like a 1. And the idea is you become aware. So freedom of tension and strain through awareness, and also beginning to change our reaction to time. So you're going from time to rhythm. And by the way, this is what happens at a vibrant retreat, is we start to practice these practices of being going from time and the compression of time, the overwhelm of time, into rhythm. So if you notice, most people's illnesses or what their challenges in life have all to do with time illness. So if anybody you speak to, if you heard the language of the body, the language of the body would say, "I'm strained, I'm fearful," right? Not what they say intellectually. So to be able to get in there and have this other experience of rhythmic vibrancy, that changes the brain. And that changes your access to this, if you will, this vibrant wisdom that's there for you, always. We're going to share some practices today. I want to welcome John. I want to welcome Lisa, Janet, our panel, and welcome you to lunch today, a different kind of lunch. So welcome. So, John, I figured I would, since with the intro, you're very welcome. Since you've written, not just you've written books, for almost 45 years, you've really dove in. And this is what I really appreciate you as a mentor. You dove in between the words of some of these great older teachings, these kind of mystical yet practical. It's interesting, you know, John and Lisa and Janet, it seems like these things are becoming more practical the more we understand the impact on the brain. So we know now the brain, the brain's interpretation of something changes it physically. So this adds another dimension to, like, why is the brain such a big deal in terms of dementia and Alzheimer's? Because the brain changes when we feel distressed. It changes our physical brain. So these higher, you could say, practicing this, these vibrant retreats during the day, these mini moments, and allowing. So I just wanted you to step in and share. I want to welcome you. Get your take on this allowing timelessness medicine that Dr. Herbert Benson out of Deakin Hospital says is the most powerful medicine in all his 45 years doing some of the world pioneering work on stress and strain. Benson says that timelessness is the deepest state to bring the deepest riches to our lives and healing.
Well, the mystics taught meditation as a means, as a technique, to bring you fully into the present moment. That we rest in the stillness of myself. And from that center of our being, healing occurs. Also, every creative impulse occurs. This is the force that makes your heart beat, that keeps the life pulsating through the body. We leave that center often. We get caught up in the movements and the activities and the motions of the day. We get caught up pursuing our desires, and we forget ourself. We forget the moment. Most of our thoughts are dwelling on what happened in the past and planning for the future. But creative action can only take place in the moment. Healing can only take place in the moment. And so that's what the master teachers of mankind taught. If you had a philosophy course in college, you might have been left with the impression that it's a lot of theoretical ideas.
Right.
But the reason that the teachings and the writings of the masters, Socrates, Aristotle, Krishna, Buddha, many others, Christ, Moses, the reason that we still repeat their words and read their scriptures is because they're very practical. They're applicable to our daily lives. The word religion means a way of life. Now, that definition has kind of been lost. But what it's about is, how do I learn to live my life to be of more use to myself and to others? This is very practical. And surprisingly enough, we spend very little time studying or learning that subject. We learn how to do our jobs, we learn trades, we learn perhaps to play an instrument or particular skills. But the art of life is not something that we give any particular attention to, that somehow it will refine merely by the day-to-day activities. But a little reflection, we realize that it doesn't refine. We tend to travel in the same circles. We tend to find ourselves making the same mistakes. So how does the circle become a spiral? How do we begin to learn from the events of our days? We don't learn from our failures. We have to get it right, practice that, and then the learning begins.
I want to, hey, listening to the Vibrant Living Network, in partnership with Om Times Radio and one of the wonderful Om Times magazine. You'll be seeing the writing of John Adago. We got some stuff coming up on the reptile brain that's going to stretch you guys. It's going to open your minds, another way of seeing who we are. Lisa, since you are always so wonderful writing up the descriptions for the programs, we go over that earlier in the week. I wanted to bring up one thing that changed my life, actually. Could change your life, too. So one of the pioneers in the field of anxiety and panic, Dr. Claire Weeks, hands down the most influential person in the understanding of panic and anxiety and how it functions and how to release it. And when I first got introduced to the work of Dr. Claire Weeks, it's so revolutionary to this day. And one of her big insights was that the way to get out of panic and anxiety was to allow time to pass, going back to, we talked about timelessness and allowing. When a person's in the middle of a panic, they don't want to allow. They want to get out of it. They want to, the emergency scares the life out of them. So she says, as one of the phases, we must allow and let time pass. Allow the time pass. Now, when I first read this, I realized I was in a transitional phase. And it was almost like I never learned that as a basic awareness. As a matter of fact, what I learned, and I'm sure most of you learned, you know, when you were hurt or something happened, we sponsored a forum with Dr. Botter. Dr. Botter's a surgeon in New Jersey. And I asked Paul one day, I said, how did you become a surgeon? How this happened? He said, well, when I was a kid, I fell out of a tree. And he goes, I noticed he broke his arm. But he said he wasn't scared or shocked by it. He just noticed it happened. His bone was in a different place. And he said he went back to the Thanksgiving dinner. And his uncle, who was a medical doctor, got freaked out. And he said that was the first time in his life he went from the world of innocence and seeing this and timelessness. And he got frightened. He got so frightened that he felt his only solution, not consciously, was subconsciously, was to become a doctor. And he dedicated his work as a doctor to help people free themselves of the hypnosis, this trance or this rushingness, to be able to experience timelessness and allowing. And we had many dialogues. We put together a forum on this because it's at the heart of what's happening to many, many people. They don't have a choice, that rushing and hurriedness. So as we have Janet here, who's a world-class, not she's a world, I say she's a world-class mime. She's someone who really takes people on the, with her yoga and mind, to understand the body. We have a choice, a subtle choice, where we can move in a different direction. I guess I'll go, Lisa, I mentioned your name first. I'm going to go to you. Well, right, I'm going to go back to you in a second, Darren. I'm rhythmically dancing here right now, so I know you'll appreciate it.
I do appreciate, you know, you coming to me. Because first of all, I just want to acknowledge the wisdom from last week. And before we began the show today, I took the 60 seconds that would change my day. And I just took that moment before we began today to really be conscious and to embody the practices, you know, that John was kind enough to share with us. And 60 seconds was about all that I had this morning. But, you know, in thinking about the timelessness and allowing, I was reading through John Adago's book, Ancient Wisdom Can Enrich Your Life Today. And, you know, as I'm reading through this book, and there's so many things that resonate with me. And there was the quote that I selected from there was, "The first day I felt as though I had always been there. The last day I felt like I had just arrived." And it was, you know, John sharing what a friend had observed while she was on vacation. And I thought about that and how many times I go back into that space where, you know what, you come to a place where you feel like you have always been there. And that's the timelessness that you're speaking about. It's what John is speaking about. And I think that when, you know, you allow and you experience and you breathe in and you just create a different awareness, it does transform you. And, you know, so, yeah, and I think that as, you know, we become transformed, we have an opportunity to do so. And really, you know, it's the small reminders. I mean, life does go by so quickly. And in John's book at the same time, and it was so interesting because I was reading about synchronicities and the moments, and I had a phone call from a good friend of mine, and yesterday, you know, her daughter took something as simple as an Excedrin and had an allergic reaction to it. And it was interesting. She said, as that moment, you know, was 7 minutes took her to get from her home to the emergency room, and her daughter almost lost her life yesterday. But it was just a reminder of that timelessness and that allowing, and that how just a few minutes, something so simple as taking a medication, can literally transform a moment in time. And as I was talking to her, you know, you're talking about, you know, the shock and you're breathing through and her awareness. And I said to her, she said, you know, I was looking at the synchronicities, and she said, and I swear that I had a premonition and the coincidences and everything that had happened prior to that moment. And she said that, you know, could it have been avoided? She said, if she would have paid attention. And I said to her, I said, you know, you look at the blessing in that. Had that not happened and created that awareness and that timelessness around that moment, it could have happened when she wasn't in your presence. And that you may have lost her forever. And so, you know, I think that's what these books, that's what these teachings do. They remind us of the gifts and, you know, to take that time and to be aware and cherish the people that are around you and all of those other things. And I'm sure that, you know, oh, here we are on a break.
What? That's funny. Good. Yeah, a good time to exhale.
Our break. Yeah.
That's right. Allowing.
60
allowing.
Absolutely.
We're gonna give you guys an exercise. Jhana Kharofa is gonna share an exercise, because, you know, we live in these bodies, and when we allow them, the seeing this occur. So we'll continue with the Vibrant Living Network. Deeply appreciate you. Stay with us. More with Jhana Dago.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Namaste, friends. This is Deva Pramala Mitten. And we wanted to let you know that we will be in America and Canada this May. We'll be coming with our Wings of Mantra World Tour, coming up the West Coast to Boulder, Santa Fe, Sedona, Scottsdale, Santa Barbara, L.A., Marin, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Escondido, Edmonds, and up to Canada to Victoria and Vancouver. You can find details on our website, devapramalmiten.com. Hope to see you there. Lots of love. Namaste.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome to Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks with you as we explore this topic of timelessness. So when we go from timelessness, we go into rhythmic awareness, right? We become more aware. And then there's allowing. So right now, as we speak, as we listen to Lisa and John, I wanted to check in because I wanted to give this moment to Janet to share with us an exercise and to comment. And I want us to share before Janet, this is something that's very relational. I want to give you a quick example. I went to see this woman in Rhode Island. And when I went to see her, she had a spasm in her face. So her face was quivering at a very high rate and her breathing was very shallow. So what I began to do, and you could do this, I began to pay attention to my face and my breathing. So I noticed when I exhaled, she caught in rapport, 90% of rapport is nonverbal. She began to feel this rhythm nonverbally. I never said anything to her, but I noticed she started to exhale and her face, actually the spasm went away and I felt differently. So these practices are very relational. Janet Carafa, who I've been very close with almost 3 years now. First time I had the honor of meeting Janet was in a mime performance at a theater in Northampton, Massachusetts. And we have a natural, profound connection. And Janet has a center, a yoga center, and a retreat center. And we're also putting together a program in July with John Adago. So, Janet, I wanted you to share an exercise you did last week. And I wanted to see anything you wanted to share with the audience for someone who rhythmically works with people's bodies and being a world-class mime. And your first comment to me is we do speak in the language of the invisible with each other. We sometimes forget that. We deny it. We push it away. But that's another part of this allowing, to let the language that's there to be there. So when you're upset with someone or something's happening, to go beneath that.
Yes. We're always speaking to each other through body language, through the invisible, through the timelessness. And yes, we get focused on the time dimension and what's going on. But mime and yoga specifically work in with timelessness. Just for an example, just so people understand a little bit, if you've ever seen Marcel Marceau, he has a piece, a famous mime, who is now passed, but he has a piece, Youth, Maturity, Old Age, where he just within, I think, I don't know exactly how long it is, maybe 5 minute piece, he takes you through the truth of that within and connects with people. And so he's shifting time. And so literally when you're performing mime and working mime, you're actually working out, as John was saying, the art of life. So you're expressing, you know, you go inside, you find where youth is, you find, and then you express it out. And when it's true, it connects, you know, with the audience. Now, the other thing I want to just express is that when you're doing that, you are watching yourself do it because you are performing as well as expressing the truth. So your witness mind is active. And the witness mind, if you go into that, whether you're in time or not time, but you're watching yourself go in and out or maybe touch it, that is as effective in being in the healing state as accomplishing being in timelessness all the time or whatever you're going for. So having the witness mind is actually the same as being in timelessness. But I have an exercise, so I can.
Beautiful.
So the thing about mime and yoga is we actually physicalize. We do workouts. I can give you workout, a body workout, physical. That works. That brings in the emotional, the mental, the physical, the spiritual, all together, and that's what the mime yoga mime workout, which I'm developing, is. So one simple exercise is to stand, and go and find your center of gravity. Just feel the earth, feel the ground under your feet. If you can take off your shoes, fine. If not, that's okay too. But just feel the center of gravity and relax and feel the center of gravity come up through your body and out the top of the head and down through your spine and down to the center of the earth. So you are aligned with gravity and just one piece on top of the other. You're not holding yourself up. You're just kind of floating there. So if you go in, it almost tickles me when I do it. You find that center of gravity, and it's like you're just floating with it. And it may go a little to the side like a tree or like a flower, but you're really aligned with gravity. Now, being here, just even holding this for a second, for 3 seconds, for 30 seconds, just breathing in that, you are aligned with gravity, with the physics of the universe. You are being held up, your heart, and you are in the space where, as John was saying, the heart is beating, the space between the heartbeats, the space that you're in, that we're being carried at all times. Our heart's pumping, we're all together. So you're in that, and you're in the awareness of it. Now, that's one simple thing. I also wanted to discuss the emotional body, stepping in and out of the emotional and the emotions. So our emotional body is like our physical body. It's part of us. And I learned this teaching mime to children when I wanted them to be different characters and express different emotions. And I took a piece of paper or a few pieces of paper, and I wrote joy, sadness, different emotions on them, anger, fear, insecurity. And I wrote that. So when the children stepped into the box, that's what they were. So they were the joy box. They were joyful. And they'd step out, and then they weren't in that box anymore. And then they'd step into fear. They'd go into the fear, and they find their own fear. Now, there's no negative emotion as long as you're not stuck in it, and you're watching yourself. You have the witness of yourself, watching yourself go in and out of the emotions, going as deeply as you can, expressing them lightly, and then getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And this I call the emotion aerobics. So we literally have a workout for our emotions and then step out of the box and shift to another one. So this is one exercise that I found is huge in seeing the distance that we are not our emotions, but they are gifts to be in touch with the divine. And so that's the other exercise. So you could take a piece of paper and step into joy if you're feeling whatever you'd like, and then step out and just see that you have the choice, you know, to shift what is going on, your emotional body, just like you have the choice to stand straight and open the heart, how our alignment, how we hold our bodies, kind of recreates emotions. So if you're sad, the tendency is to concave the heart. And that's how you'd express it as a mime. And then if you open, literally, it shifts that. So there are, so that's another one. But I won't go further. Those two.
No, that's beautiful, Janet. That's very beautiful. Yeah. Listen to the Vibrant Living Network. And we're going to talk about this upcoming retreat in Hawaii. We're going to talk a little bit about retreat. I like to say there's two dimensions of retreat. There's the retreating and the forwarding. So we retreat, but then we learn how to have a path of action. I want to make a comment about time. I want to go to John. I want to get your comments, John, on this, because I went to go see – I did a 12-week program with Jon Kabat-Zinn when he first wrote Full Catastrophe Living. And we had about – I want to say – 55 people in a room. And when I went around the room, there were people who traveled from all around the world to this clinic at Worcester Hospital. And people, there was a woman, she was going to have some, she had some toes cut off. She was doing major surgery. There were some business people that had chronic migraines that wouldn't stop. There was a mailman in the room. He had chronic, you know, ringing in his ears. So the whole room had circumstance that was sort of impending. And they've been to many people to get help with pain management. And so the constant thing that I heard when they spoke was they had a relationship to time, where time contraction and overwhelm was like a continuous cycle. None of them. There was another one in the room. Her husband was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And every single one of them said they had no time to deal with this. So we contrast between allowing and timelessness. Imagine allowing yourself to just acknowledge you could allow. So one of the exercises we did together as a group for 12 weeks is we did this exercise called the body scan. And what I thought was interesting is at the beginning of the group, no one had time to do the body scan. Matter of fact, there's one guy in there who said he would go nuts doing the body scan, which is about 45 minutes, a long time. Now, what I learned in years to come was that, and Lisa said a minute, she took a minute, minute's not too long. But actually, Charles Scrobel, who wrote the Quieting Reflex, a neurologist, said it actually takes 3 seconds to change your neurology. And what he recommends is exhaling and smiling into your organs. He said that alone will begin to re-educate. So 3 seconds. In John's course, halfway through, I had talked to the woman whose husband was just diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And she told me, and this is an interesting thing to note, that in this modern world, a lot of people don't have time to practice. What she told me was her whole sense of time was different. She experienced another experience of time that she never had her whole life. So we got to question this linear time thing where there's deadlines and pressures and start to realize we could tap into another sense of rhythm and begin to have this shift in our brain and our biology. And that's why I'm very enthused about the retreat, John, that you're going to be participating in with Janet in Hawaii, in Kauai, John, the thing I just said about people's experience of time where they up front they'll say they don't have the time. I experienced it to be very different after 6 weeks of practice. Independent of what they said, I want to ask you to comment on this because a lot of times that part of the mind that's the shadow box says, there's no way I could do this. No, I don't have the time. And that conversation, by the way, is the conversation that informs your brain that when your brain buys into has a constant sense of emergency. So the purpose of going to a beautiful place like Kauai, you're investing in a lifelong practice in a setting that allows you to allow, right, encourages allowing and timelessness. What would be your comments, John, of freeing ourselves from the trap of the mind so we could become into this moment and then share it with others in a way we've never had before, even if we say we don't have time or we have deadlines or we're busy. By the way, just so you guys know, busyness in all of Chinese medicine, the deepest parts of Taoist medicine, is the deepest illness. Busyness is an illness. The purpose of deep treatment is to free the person from busyness so they can sense rhythmic wonder that's in their body, mind, and spirit. John, go ahead and address that. Address the mind running the show and then this other quality of being or big mind being in our lives at all levels.
When we attempt to introduce a conscious exercise, like Lisa did this morning, she said, I'm going to take 60 seconds and try and come to myself. Simply be present. be aware of myself in the room, be aware of the surroundings, aware of my breath. And she found that although this was a positive exercise, she barely fitted in her day, was sort of the way she expressed it.
Mm.
And what this shows us is how bound we are by habit. It's almost completely bound. What keeps us on this treadmill, being pulled through the day, chasing one event after another, one phone call, one meeting, one task, is not the circumstances around us. What keeps us in this condition of being compelled to move and act is our internal desires. These desires are continually arising. People often complain that they find their minds just in constant motion.
Yeah.
Well, underneath every thought, there's a desire. The thought is the manifestation of a desire. We need to begin to intentionally or consciously pick what it is we're going to pursue. Because these constant desires are just habits. They're not something that we do. They're something that do us. Mm-hmm. And it's
okay.
All right, we're gonna continue. We're talking about mini retreats you can have a day. We're talking about an upcoming retreat with Jana Carafa, John Adago, and you in Kauai, Hawaii, in a moment. Be life precious, enjoy it. Stay with us.
Your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. So appreciative of our partnership with the Om Times Radio with John Adago, the author of many. Give out your website real quick, John. Make sure that people can get your website. Go ahead.
Yes, it's thejourneyback.net. Thejourneyback.net. And I can be reached at programpublishing@gmail.com. Programpublishing@gmail.com.
someone asked me, we'll get back to Janet. We'll go right back to Lisa. Lisa, welcome back, Lisa. Janet, go and give out. Yeah, we have a relationship with Janet, Vibrant Living, and we're going to be producing these one-of-a-kind retreats with people such as John Adago. And also we're going to appear on the Home Times magazine. Lisa, go ahead. Lisa, I'm sorry. I'm doing confusion as a moment here. Janet, would you? Thank you. Thank you, everybody. All right, so go ahead and give out your website, and people are going to be able to see on your website the upcoming retreat with John Adago. And it's going to be a description, and they could see pictures of your beautiful studio. We're partnering with a retreat center. How could they learn more about this one-of-a-kind retreat we have upcoming on deeper replenishment, quieting the mind? And by the way, you got some amazing places to share with people in Kauai that's out of this world. So how could people discover about the retreat and be in touch with you?
Look, on the website is Hot Yoga Princeville, PRINCEVILLE.com. Right now, if you go to the retreat page, it's not on there. So I'm going to put it on. It'll be on this weekend. So there are other retreats on there. So anyway, that is, and you could email me at contact@hotyogaprinceville.com. We are organizing this retreat with John and Glenn. Hopefully, you'll come. We're going to drag you over.
Yes. You can drag me over. You'll sit next to me and sing to me or something. Yes.
I will.
Thank you. You're a sweetheart. Thank you.
And for the week of the 4th of July. So, and there's a limit on how many people because it's going to be very intensive and very it's just small and intimate and really deep. So email and just let us know if you are interested. contact@hotyogaprinceville.com. Kauai is a vortex. It's an amazing place. As soon as you step here on this island, your mind shifts. So there's not much to do after that except enjoy and learn from John Adago and do some yoga, go into the ocean. We have a beautiful location where you'll be staying steps from the ocean. It's a secret private retreat center. And then you'll come to the yoga studio and doing meditation and a whole variety of fun, joyful, amazing, life-shifting experience.
You'll be that personal guide. You'll share all the places you've been going to. And has it been 15 years? It's about 15 years. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So Janet, you're a precious, vibrant, living team member, and thank you. We'll be with you next week again. Appreciate you deeply.
Okay. All right. Aloha.
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 Now, Janet's not going to say this, but she has celebrity clients such as Ben Stiller. People have traveled to Kauai to work with her over the years, and she's made it a point to travel to places in Kauai that are just breathtaking. So, 60 seconds. Would you do 60 seconds a day to really transform your life and bring that to other people? The relational dimension of this is so strong. Because sometimes during the day, you're going to meet people that they're exploding or having significant reactions. The spaciousness you allow, that you give yourself, you could give to others. What I call relational spaciousness. So on this retreat with John Adago and Janet, apparently me, we're going to share with you things that are going to allow you to experience this relational spaciousness. So if you come and you have certain conflicts, so getting back to the timelessness and the allowing. By the way, Lisa's write-up is so beautiful today. We all read it last night, Lisa. And we just were so appreciative of because what I do is I discuss this with Lisa, and Lisa writes it, and she adds her own beautiful nuance. So when you allow someone to be as angry as they are or as disturbed they are, you don't resist them. It's kind of like it allows them to release it. So when someone's annoyed or something's going on, let the person be as much as they are and watch what happens. So allowing is one of the most powerful medicines to transform something. And then timelessness is the context of kind of like how you hold things. So we graduate from timelessness to rhythm. And when we bring that to what some, you know, we call time, right now time is in a shift. Linear time is overwhelming for people. We cannot, I'll tell you this right now, we cannot live and thrive in regular time. And it's not possible. We'll get the emotional and physical bends. We'll get ill. So for true healing to happen, it's a stepping out of the time to this grace of rhythm, which we'll be getting into in Kauai with John. Lisa, did you want to step in and share something? I was going to have John share a little bit about this idea of what's different about going on retreat than, you know, why there's a power in retreating and forwarding.
Yeah, no, I would love
but
to.
I said I'd stop in with you.
Okay. John, please.
Well, sometimes they're called intensives. And these have been going on by many different groups for a long time in this country now. I've attended retreats for the better part of 20 years, several retreats a year. And during that period of time, first you leave your daily activities and concerns behind. And you are in a day where the activities are carefully scheduled. So there's time for things that you often find yourself saying, I don't have time to do in my everyday life. So there's time for meditation, for yoga, for fine company, for adventures or journeys to special places, to enjoy the ocean, to enjoy yourself. There's time to begin to listen. When Glenn speaks about connecting with other people, in a conversation, communication is not so much what's said as what's heard. If I find myself not communicating very well with a person, my first tendency is to speak up, say it a little louder, use a little bit more force. And if that fails to accomplish what I want, then more often than not, I try more force and a louder speech. when we find ourselves not communicating very well, what's being called for is not that we speak louder, but that we listen deeper. This is how we connect with the person in front of us. To be still and listen without judgment is a very high form of love. Mm-hmm. And it's a form of attention that everyone needs. If you've ever been around young children, and perhaps you're preoccupied reading a newspaper and they're trying to get your attention and you kind of pat them on the head and keep reading your newspaper, and they will not accept that. They'll speak louder. Right. They'll tug harder because they need that undivided attention as much as they need water and air. Mm-hmm. We all do. Listening is a rare commodity in today's society. We pay the consultant, the therapist, huge fees simply to listen. This is something that we can all practice. It's a matter of letting go what we're thinking and feeling about and giving our attention to the person in front of us. This is a fundamental practice. But in order to do it, you have to first remember that you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. In order to be present, you have to realize that you're kind of only half present. Rajiv speaks about being awake. Well, before you can be awake, you have to appreciate that you're more asleep than awake. Mm-hmm. And then once you sense that, you come into the picture. So I may be aware of the things around me. I may be taking a walk. I may feel the sun on my face, feel the breeze blowing my clothes. There's a connection through the senses to the creation. I see the things around me. What I need to remember is that I want to be in the picture. We often are aware of the actions and behavior of the people around us. Less often are we aware of our own behavior. We need to become cognizant of the desires that are at play within us in the moment. What's pulling us now? So often I find myself putting aside one task to pick up another when the first task hasn't been taken as far as it could be taken. Mm-hmm. It's just the mind flitted and changed channels. We have to train the mind. In time, instead of being our master, it can become our servant. This is what Gurdjieff and Uspensky called the work. And the fundamental part of the work is what Glenn spoke about in the beginning of this hour. It's witness consciousness. It's self-observation. It's activating a function of mind that's aware of myself in the moment, an impartial awareness that simply registers who and what I am and is aware of the voice and the gestures and the behavior and the reactions. And from that awareness, one can begin to consciously participate in our lives, as opposed to mechanically and habitually reacting. So much of our behavior are mechanical reactions. They're really little more than like a knee jerk, you know, like so the doctor hits your knee with a hammer and the leg goes up, and then the ego says, oh, I raised my leg. But I didn't raise. And look how good I raised my leg, and I raised it higher this time than last time. If one begins to observe oneself, you need not go to the movies. There's lots of entertainment. You begin to see. And the really extraordinary thing about the writings of Gurdjieff and Uspensky and many other master teachers is not only that they described this condition, which we would call the human condition, which in many ways is very habitual and bound, but they taught us how to become free of it. They taught us how to transform ourselves from the condition we are in to something finer, higher, more aware, a stronger quality of attention that can be brought to bear on every task, an awareness that includes other people and their needs. In this process, we become men and women of substance, people who are more of use to ourselves and others. This is the aim of the work.
You know, John, I have a question for you. I know that you've taught many workshops and led many seminars, and I'm sure for each one, you know, and I said this to somebody today, that we can both be in the same seminar and listen to the same words, but there's different things that will resonate with us, different things that have meaning to us, different things that we catch on to. So for you, in the past workshops that you've done, what are some of the most remarkable questions or insights or things that you felt that people caught and or transformed, or just things that you've noticed in conducting it and guiding people through this process and sharing the work?
Well, there are many things that determine what people hear.
We just have like 30 seconds, John. I just want to tell you, okay. The time clock is moving.
The important thing is that we speak the truth and are willing to hear the truth, no matter where it takes us. And we're willing to sacrifice that which is not true. Our cherished ideas and beliefs are sacrificed on the altar of truth and self-discovery. If you do that, then you are participating in the exercise. And it will be transformative.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. We have a speaker's bureau. Our next event is coming up. It looks like it's going to be in Vermont. John will be there. It's called a Vibrant Living Summit. Pretty much, I've been dedicated to understand this vibrant message. And John, Lisa, Janet, we're talking about how to be more vibrant and more awake. I deeply appreciate your listening. Thanks, Chris, very much. Love working with Chris and Om Times. Thanks, John. Thanks, Lisa. Your life's precious and joy, and I'm Glenn Brooks. Thank you.
Good day.